Chili frozen Batman. It's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire.
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the war in us all.
Holy I'm shit.
What?
You mean like for the child in us all, but you just replaced Ward, right?
Yes.
I finally got that.
I figured it applied. My wife says I'm a child every damn day.
Who's... Say your name.
I am keeping that in. I am John Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Winia. Ryan is currently engaged in a lengthy copyright trial with the Lloyd Webber estate. So why don't you tell everybody what this podcast is about, John?
In this podcast, we talk about Batman from the early years to today. We are the Star Wars prequels of Batman podcast. We're okay. We're not the best.
We're okay in bits, and we have poor CGI.
We have a really good final act, though.
Well, that doesn't really hold up after you watch it again. So last issue, we talked about the introduction of Robin and the introduction of the Joker from Batman issue 1. And so we're going to continue the rest of Batman issue 1. We have introduction of Professor Strange.
Boar.
And we have another character that'll come back a few different times under a different name. But first, last issue, we discussed what was going on in the world. It's kind of shit right now. And to get that out of the way, all stories this week are by Bill Finger, with pencils by Bob Kane and inks by Jerry Robinson. Lettering? What's that? So what do you want to talk about, John? I got a talking wallet today.
So I think the thing I would want to talk about is, like, people that I work with don't know that I do this podcast. I've been very careful not to, like, let that seep out. As chatty as I want to be about these kinds of things, I've made sure that I don't bring it up at work. Anybody that I'm friends with on Facebook at work, I block any post that they might see regarding this show whatsoever. It's my deep, deep, dark secret for only some people. Also, my mother doesn't know about it either, but, you know.
Everybody I know knows about it, but I haven't told them the name, so they can't find it.
I actually have tagged Ryan in some of these posts. I don't even think he knows he's in the episode.
I don't think he knows that he's a running joke either.
I don't think he knows that he's in that joke.
We're going to let him find that out on his own.
So, the people at work don't know about this podcast or anything, but they do know that I am extremely, extremely nerdy and somewhat of a spaz. I think that's safe to say. I know what I am. I'm a little spazzy and stuff.
You
I'm
are.
Not terrible,
there's
but
been a few times
we had
during this
out.
Where I've told you to calm down.
I get so excited.
Because you go on tangents, and it's like, I think the first episode you went on a tangent about a sedan.
My sister just visited me, and she listened to that episode, and she's like, I don't know what was wrong with you, if you had like a concussion or something, but you would not shut up about that car. It gets better. There's a Roadster now. I love that Roadster. So the people at work know that I'm nerdy. And they see me have like a Batman lanyard for my badge and everything. And they have the need to, and I'm not saying it's bad, like they're trying to, you know, hang out with me and talk with me about stuff that I find interesting, so that there's credit there. But I have a Batman lanyard, and then automatically anything comic book related, I automatically will care about to them. They think I'll automatically care about
it. Yeah, you know
it.
All that shit.
Oh, yeah, apparently. So that someone went to a theme park. It wasn't Six Flags or anything, but it had a bunch of DC comics. Right? So, oh, you would love that. It was a Batman roller coaster. And is it just like all the other roller coasters that exist?
No, yeah, it's got a logo.
I can't be mean to them. It's just, they try so hard, and I'm like, I do that John thing where I'm like, well, technically, really, it's a little bit different, you see, because actually, his finger's 90 degrees to the left in that issue, and it means something completely different.
You do wear Batman shirts every single time I've ever seen you.
They're the ones I find the most comfy and everything, and heck, to be honest, you see me on days
he's
where
he's wearing one right now.
I am wearing one right now. But
and Batman pants.
And Batman pants.
And probably Batman underwear.
No, I did have a few pairs a while back.
His pubic hair is shaved into a Batman symbol.
Walk in.
He's not denying it, folks.
I'm not denying it, but I just walk into the bedroom at night and be like, hey, honey, you want to see my Dark Knight? And then she just pulls out a vibrator and beats me with it.
Ooh, that got dark.
It did. Well, there's a dildo out there, apparently, that I laughed at a while back that's called the Dark Knight. It has like little bat wings on it. It's the weirdest thing.
There's a dildo for everything. There's a TARDIS dildo where it's like a little
please tell me when you turn it on it does the whoa 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 like the break.
I might. It has like a little like plastic TARDIS inside and like I was gonna
ask how you knew about that, but then you would ask the same thing of me, and I don't want to have that conversation any more than we already have.
I think that like it's not difficult to find dildos. They're everywhere. It's like that It's like there's always a screwdriver around. Which is, let's face it, the prototype dildo.
Yeah.
The other end, John, not the pointy end.
Whenever I drive across state every once in a while to go back home with Tina, my wife, and when
it's the
we
first
do,
time I think you've mentioned her by name.
She doesn't listen to the episode, so it's not like she's gonna know about it or anything.
She knows about it.
She knows that I record, but she's not gonna know I name dropped her. But we'll travel, and we always drive past this place called the Lion's Den. And every once in a while, I'll be like, okay, let's go to the Lion's Den, this adult sex shop, and we'll go and stop and buy a couple of dildos and everything, and we'll joke about it, and we'll just keep driving. And the last time we went past it, I was like, okay, we're going to go. I'm going to stop at this exit, we're going to get off, and we're going to stop at this sex shop and feel really bad about ourselves and then leave. And Tina got so scared of it. So she's like, no, don't take me to the sex shop. I don't want the Dark Knight. Don't do it.
John, don't yuck on a yum. There's nothing wrong with a sex shop. Or dildos. It's perfectly natural, as long as your partner is okay with it.
And as long as they use all natural ingredients and everything, it's edible, too. Yeah. So what's going on in the episode? Or am I introducing that?
I kind of did.
Oh, I'm cutting that part out.
No, you can keep that part out. Well, let's take a break from dildo talk for now and go finish up Batman Issue 1. Before we get into the issue proper, we have a small feature that was before this. So in this dark and brooding issue, we have the grim exploits of Major Bigsby and Bots, his manservant. There's a whore murderer. He murders whores. And it's up to the Major to... Oh, wait, never mind. It's just a story about an old man who was arrested for having his guns out. So on to Professor Strange and his monster men. This might have our second highest body count after Robin's introduction in that yellow outfit, which was promptly stained red with the blood of his victims.
At least in this one, it's not the actual heroes that are killing people necessarily.
No, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is a lot.
Oh.
Teaser. Our story begins with Hugo escaping from prison. How he got so well-armed is not elaborated on.
Everyone has a gun.
Everybody has a gun. And they're just shooting them all over the place. Then he goes over to Arkham and takes some nuts out.
Wait, you're forgetting Newspaper Boy.
Talk about the Newspaper Boy.
Please do the Newspaper Boy. Please.
That's straight. Sorry, guys, I'm going through puberty right now. Professor Strange escapes in a prison break.
I had to work a double because that Grayson kid didn't show up to work.
I have to get some more hats that fit my newly expanding head.
I like that we're pretty much squeaky voice teen.
Well, that's...
Sorry, sir, I stepped on your joke.
So anyways, he goes to the Metropolis Insane Asylum and gets out some... nuts, as it said. We get two immortal lines. Goody goody, and my favorite, oh goo!
There's so many weird things.
Did you miss that?
I missed that entirely. There's so many weird things in these issues that I just miss these things.
A peek behind the curtain. I write down these summaries, as you can probably tell, and oh goo comes up a couple different times in this episode.
I'll pick up on things like sedans, but apparently the written word. Not so much.
This is a Robin-less story, which might be our last one for a few decades, actually. So Bruce is left alone to smoke and brood in peace. There's no Legos to step on, and the house isn't full of the laughter of children training to beat up madmen.
He's probably got him out working another job, because he's got a weird, like, pimp sugar daddy thing going on.
He does send Robin to work an awful lot, doesn't right? he? We've only had two Robin stories. I'm in three Robin stories when we get done with this issue, and he's done it twice.
He's probably working at night, too, like, super hard. That's a sex joke.
So next week...
You leave that in.
Next we see the Monster Men, trademarked, running amok downtown. Cars are thrown, monocles are dropped in indignant alarm, and bullets are wasted, and cops are smushed like Popeye getting a can of spinach.
Can we talk about this page? Like, this entire page?
There's two pages.
This particular page where the monster shows up, but before he really does anything to the cops, there's so much going on. Batman's hearing, or as Bruce anyway, he's hearing on the radio that Strange escaped, and he's sure something's going to happen, and then the month later, the monster, this huge 15-foot-tall man, giant thing, shows up, and the first person to see him, it states a woman that screams, ah, look. But look at that woman. It looks like a guy in drag. Like, I'm okay with that. It's a modern day. If they want to dress, I mean, if someone wants to dress that way, I'm not going to stop them.
It actually
but
looks
it's
like...
He's got a mustache.
Actually, there's like a shadow over her face. So it looks like it might be something that if we stare at it long enough, it becomes a young woman looking the other way.
Is it supposed to be like if I look at it long enough, it turns into a schooner?
No, it's a sailboat, stupid.
But this monster just starts going downtown, and it says 15 foot. And he looks 15 foot, like in the first panel, there's one guy, and the guy's about up to his waist. So, you know, about 15 foot if you stacked him on top of each other, works great. But then he holds this car above his head, and all of a sudden it looks like he's like 50 feet tall. And he just like, a Power Rangers Make My Monster Grow thing for just a second. And then he like shakes people out of this car, and then starts beating the shit out of the police.
It's kind of like King Kong.
Yeah.
Where when they're on the island, like the original like 30s King Kong, he is, I think, 12 feet, and then he becomes like 25 feet, and he ends being 50 feet, which,
yeah.
I mean, hold on to that King Kong thing. We'll come back to that a little later. But one thing that's nice about this is that Strange has dressed him up in some dapper shit.
That hat, like, that hat's custom made.
And he's got a trench coat.
Like, the other stuff, you're like, okay, they just stitched together some sheets. That hat had to take some work. He's got, like, this weird, really straight scarecrow kind of a hat. I don't know how to describe it, but it's very fashionable.
It is. It's dapper as fuck.
I love dapper as fuck. Dapper Frenchie Blake, rest in peace.
Oh my god, do you think this is Dapper Frenchie Blake? Do you think this is why he has the hat on?
Did he ever get sent to a sailor cell?
He might have.
I mean,
he was crazy for those jewels.
You know what? Strange went to a regular prison.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. There's no way Batman didn't kill him at the end of that issue, right?
He did snap somebody else's neck or whatever in the issue before it. Batman kills everybody. It's entirely possible this person's dead.
Oh no, because we call him Dapper Frenchie Blake because the cops are like, it's Dapper Frenchie Blake!
And Batman leaves a love letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We kind of forgot about Dapper Frenchie Blake just a little bit.
Never forget.
Never forget Dapper.
So anyways, after beating the shit out of everybody, he just jumps into a truck and drives off.
I love that he rips up that lamppost and just starts beating people senseless.
Cops. His grim work achieved. The monster lumbers back into the back of a truck. And his pursuers are stopped by a rock or something. I don't know.
Stopped by a boom. That monster just threw a boom out of it. That was a literal
and it shook,
boom.
shook the room.
The monster makes his escape that night, and then he starts to proceed to go on a little bit of a rampage the next couple of days, and Bruce Wayne's kind of aware, and he's going to keep an eye out. But in the last panel, or the last page and this page, the paneling's really fun. There's more of a circular layout on a couple of images. Then in the last page, one of the cops is getting knocked over by a fucking lamppost, has his legs dangling off panel and into another panel. Like, these are things that are happening in previous issues that I didn't notice, but I'm really appreciating in this.
There's also, like, four guys that are doing the Action Comics pose. You know, where he's, like, man's taking the car and pushing it down. There's just one guy at the very edge of the panel that's, like, oh, and running away.
Do you think they just superimpose that?
They do that, like, three times in these things. So anyways, we do that again. This time, we are hugging a train post because he thought that it was his mother and ripping that down. But this time, Batman's ready for him.
So Batman follows the monster the last time he makes an escape. He follows him in his Batplane, which notably has a machine gun attached to it.
I wonder if that'll come into play later.
They find the lair. Batman apparently lands his plane. I don't know if it's in hover mode for the next, like, day or whatever it is, but
we've seen it be able to do that.
It's not even a gyro anymore. It's just a plane. But he stops, and then he stops right outside a barn, which is apparently the HQ.
And so, like a rube, he just walks in.
The doors open on their own, and he's like, oh, it must be a weird automated thing. There's a sensor around or something. It
looks like a trap, but I've got to take a chance.
No,
no, you just walk around.
You walk around. There's a window. You use it later. Just use that now.
Well, there's a bit of a climb for that window, though. We'll get to that.
That's something that I like that we end up doing a lot. Like, we'll try to talk about the issues that we're reading before we record. And we just like, no. We gotta save it. All these funny bits that we end up not doing, we gotta save them.
John, stop talking about it. We gotta save it for the show. So we find Strange, and he goes full on Blofeld. Oh, yeah, Monster Men grab him. That's probably an important.
There's
thing
so many monster. Assume that there's some kind of Monster Man in every page of this particular story, and they're just stopping Batman from doing something.
Yeah. So the Monster Man grab him. They've shrunk down to about 10 feet now.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see his feet.
About six.
Well, yeah, but you don't see their feet in that panel. So I say there's roughly 15. Nothing says that each monster had to be identical to the other monster. They could be 13 feet tall. I'll allow it.
So Strange goes into full Blofeld mode and explains his needlessly complicated plan, which boils down to, step one, I've abducted crazy people.
Because they listen better.
They do. Step two, I siren them into monster men.
And that allows me to make them, I don't know why bother making them monsters at all. Just have somebody make a distraction.
It's kind of like in Doctor Who, how you have like the Cybermen. And it's supposed to be just like a normal human person inside like a metal suit. But the only difference is that they're in a metal suit and they've taken all their emotions away. And for some reason, once you get all your emotions taken away, you instantly just join the Cybermen.
Yeah.
It's kind of an odd disconnect.
There's no logic.
Well, he's turned me into a monster, man. I guess he's my guy now.
But what I like, so the plot is, I've abducted people, I've turned them into monsters. I have other people that when the monsters are distracting everybody else, rob banks, and I get money, profit.
So Strange decides to inject Bruce, telling him he has a few hours before it starts to work, and the gang goes off without Strange to commit some more crime.
He's got such a weird potato head. Is his head malleable? Like, it changes from panel to panel, where it just, it's like he has two heads stuffed into one, and it's not just size-wise, it's like one head is in front of the other head. Like, he was a twin that didn't split, and it's just there in front of each other.
It's gotta protect that juicy brain. So the monster men knock him out, and they throw Bruce into a cell.
That apparently
he's been unconscious for almost 18 hours. I don't know how he knows that.
No, there's a clock on the outside of the
prison
cell.
Yeah, but he'd know that he was... It's not a military clock. It just gives you 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Master Detective. It's real convenient that he wakes up just before the serum actually takes effect. So if he woke up like 19 hours later, totally screwed. Just before 18 hours, just enough time.
Also, unfortunately for Strange, this is the 40s, and the TSA has not implemented shoe searches for bombs yet. So Bruce lobs his boot booms at the door.
Because his utility belt was taken away when they locked him up, yeah.
Well, that's implied. So Batman punches Strange out of a window to his death. No way. He talks about how he doubts that Strange will actually be dead, but then he just kind of walks off without really seeing if he's dead.
He might be dead. Nah, I'm not going to check up on this later. So he knocks Strange out of the window, and then he's faced with the three remaining monster men. The other two monster men, because there's five total, are currently in two separate trucks that are going to start robbing various places throughout
and
the city.
And Strange already told him what was happening, but we skipped that over because it was boring. So he takes a window hook, which is on sale for $14.39 at Menards this week.
Saving
and he hits one in the throat.
And
he hits one in the throat, which apparently kills him because we don't see him again.
I thought he hit him in the eyes.
No, I suppose he does hit him in the eyes. Still, though, he kills him.
I don't think he could have hit him hard enough to kill him, but he never comes back.
He then uses that said hook on the window to swing into the other ones and make them fight each other.
And he's like, they'll probably kill each other. Oh, well. And
then he goes to work on a cure for monsteritis.
Which apparently you can solve in like 5 minutes, even though you know nothing about the serum.
But we kind of walked out, like, he's got 5 minutes to make an anti-serum, which he knows nothing about.
So let's say he knows how to make an anti-monster serum. Is that enough time to actually, like, make the cure? Like, let's say I want to make a supper or whatever for my wife. Like, this is the one time I actually cook, like, a decent meal myself. It still takes time for those individual ingredients to work together. So I don't know how he speeds that up.
He does it really quickly. It doesn't make any sense. It also doesn't make sense that, like, this is total action movie logic where if you're injected with a poison, it's not going to kill you until...
Or if there's a bomb that's going to go off in 5 minutes, you stop it with like 1 second.
Well, no,
to spare.
That makes sense though. Like poisons, like slowly, they affect your organs and stuff and make them shut down. It's not like the poison's just chilling out in your stomach, going, "Oh shit, I better."
I kind of would have liked it, like if he's fighting the monsters, like certain parts of his body start enlarging during the fight. Like,
yeah,
all of a sudden he's got like big goofy feet for a second, and then they just has like random King Kong, like Hulk, smash him up hands for a second.
But one thing we've kind of glossed over is it's actually probably the grimace part of this entire grimace. He's a bit of shake that is still alive.
They have a dark universe there, and they got real gritty with Grimace.
He got real Grimace. Is that he knocked the two monster men into each other, and they started fighting. And the narration tells us that these monster men are just tearing each other apart while he's making the serum.
So he cures himself. And he's like, okay, just in time. And he looks back, and you don't actually see it. You see, like, a dark room, and you don't see the monsters at all. But he's like, oh, my God, they just killed themselves. Oh, well. And he flies away.
He says,
it's so nonchalant.
They killed each other, as I hoped they would. They are now dead.
That's on him.
Thank you.
Like, you're charged with murder, too, man, at least. I'm judging this all from SVU. I don't know if that would actually be murder, too.
So Batman hops into the Batplane and goes after one of the trucks. And then he says the biggest lie he has said so far. As much as I hate to take a human life.
You love it. You fucking love it. Your sidekick that you just got, his first appearance, he killed like 6 people. He doubled whatever you've ever done in a single issue.
And then Batman's like, the hell you say? and just takes out an entire truck full of people. And then when the monster man...
With
a machine gun.
It's way overkill, even.
And then hangs the other monster that jumps out of the back of the truck.
From the plane.
From the plane.
And you don't know how long this takes. I kind of wanted, I wanted 2 pages. I wanted 9 panels on a page. 18 panels total. And just the monster just kind of struggling. Just to really make it really sad and really, really just depressing as hell.
I do love how Bruce justifies it, though. He just goes, he's probably better off this way.
He was insane anyway. Nobody with mental health issues is allowed to live, apparently. You narrow-minded motherfucker.
And then he just cuts him and drives off.
Yeah, he just he's like,
just leaves the body.
I guess I'll just let him drop down this ravine. Cut.
So his bloodlust not yet slated. He guns down the last car.
In downtown. This is a metropolitan area. He's going down like the red fucking Baron. Hope I don't hit an innocent person and their family. That's never happened to me before.
I hope that this is actually the car that is full of the actual criminals. Because there's probably a couple different trucks out.
No way could this standard truck be anything but the one particular monster. Master Detective, that's all we need to know. He's just so mean. He's just killing everybody.
So then after killing everybody in that truck...
I want to do a count after this issue.
The monster man jumps out of it and starts climbing after the plane. And we go full on King Kong in this bitch. So we climb to the top of Manhattan's... I don't even know what it's supposed to be.
It's basically a nondescript Empire State Building. It's the closest thing to, but not really. But he shoots him with a machine gun while he's on the top of the building. People can still be in that building. There's a top floor to this building. You're killing something. Even if it's just the monster, you're still killing something.
And even then, we know that these guys have bulletproof clothes on, so he's just wasting bullets. He knew that. Strange told
him. Well, I think it's the fall that technically kills him.
Well, no, he, just like King Kong, he throws, a gas grenade, and it's super effective. And the monster plunges to his, and anybody underneath him's, death.
End of the issue, he's flying away. Apparently scot-free. Batman can follow anybody in his plane, but no one's gonna follow his plane. He's always gets away scot-free, so that's just confounding as it is. But he says that's the last of the monsters. So there's 5 monsters. That's 5 people dead. Potentially strange, so let's say that's 5.5. And then 2 guys in each truck. So that's 9.5 people. Let's round. We'll say at least 9 to 10 people dead. He beat Robin's high score. Bob Kane, Bill Finger, you murderous, bloodlust people. Damn.
Hugo will return later. But we're not going to cover it. We might do some more stuff.
If we talk about Hugo, we're probably going to talk about Hugo in, the 70s?
Late 70s? I would think so, yeah.
I think that's the time where they really bring him back, which I am more than comfortable with doing.
Yeah. And now, a prose story, Strictly Publicity, by Guy Munro. I didn't read it. And now, Meet the Artist. I didn't read it. Now, our second introduction of the issue, Catwoman. But since there's rationing going on, she's only known as the Cat.
They gotta save that ink for propaganda.
Another endearing character, let's have a chat about the Cat. So that's another character that's endured to this day, and probably the most successful of the Batman spinoff ones.
She gets an ongoing consistently, yeah, starting, what, in...
Is late 90s? In early 90s.
Is that consistent? Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So, pretty much... Always on and off again relationships with Bruce, having sex on rooftops in the costumes, that's kinky.
Relationships back on right now in Tom King's Batman run. Right now, I know that he has proposed to Selina Kyle, Catwoman, and that she hasn't answered him yet. I hope when the conclusion for this comes that she goes, nah, I'm good, and just pieces out. That's what I'm really hoping for, to be honest.
It's pretty much the relationship.
Right?
Selina is one of those characters that has come back in a lot of different fiction. She's been portrayed in movies 3 different times.
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Michelle Pfeiffer,
all right.
Halle Berry,
uh-huh.
And Princess Diaries girl, Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway is the last one. We're not counting the TV appearances of either voice actresses or for the 66 series, Eartha Kitt, and I cannot remember the other one.
There's a couple one. Wasn't Julie Newmar one?
Julie Newmar was one.
I think there was another one, too.
Was there? Was there a serials one from, the 40s?
No.
I don't think so, right?
He fights Dred Chinaman in the 40s.
Man, Batman's super racist when it starts out.
We might get into that. So, I was wondering if you'd remember, because like I asked you to name them because I thought you'd forget the Halle Berry one, because I sometimes forget they actually made a Catwoman.
Oh, it's in literal, it's a technicality only, because it actually says Catwoman in the name of the movie. Other than that, as an actual representation of the character, what the fuck is that movie?
I didn't think it was. I've never seen it, because here it's awful.
I saw it, but I saw it because I was watching it in a drive-in movie theater with like my parents or whatever, and it was with Spider-Man 2, I think. So it was a double feature at a drive-in movie theater. Oh my god. And the thing is, I think it was the first movie too, so you couldn't even leave because you wanted to see Spider-Man 2 at the time. So it was just, you were just stuck there watching this monstrosity of a terrible movie. Shannon Stone? What the fuck was that?
Her name's Sharon.
I'm not going to get it right. I don't like her anyway.
Isn't Spider-Man 2 the good one?
Spider-Man 2 is
a good one, right?
It's got Doc Ock in it and everything. It's pretty solid, yeah.
So how do you feel about Catwoman?
On her own.
Not great.
I don't have like a super big backlog of things I read a lot of Catwoman stuff in. I know she had her individual ongoings that we talked about. I know she comes up in a bunch of different stories and everything. As an individual character, I like her just fine, just as well as any other character that I could. When she interacts with Batman, they both make each other, whenever they're written together, as far as I know, they both make each other seem really stupid. Since Batman currently right now seems like the world's worst detective and kind of stupid, it doesn't really change anything for me, but later down the road, it seems like he just makes really dumb choices.
I think that Catwoman really works on paper, but when... No, but like it's when it's kind of like...
I get jokes.
No, it's kind of like Passion of the Christ. If you've ever like...
Never saw it.
Don't. But if you ever have, it's got really shitty dialogue. But it's all in Arabic, so you're just reading it. So you don't really notice that it's like really shitty and like pointless.
It's kind of like if you watch a translation of something else, like you're just thinking, oh, somebody just didn't translate.
Yeah,
this
like
really well.
You can kind of accept things that are like on the page than if you hear like people talking to them. Like, if you've ever like played the Arkham series,
yeah,
they write her like they do in the comics where she's like doing all cat puns and stuff.
I
it
like
sounds
cat
so
puns.
Fucking stupid, though.
Well, you mean,
you
what,
can kind of get away with
it's
that.
Really, it's fun on the page, but when you're hearing it, it sounds really,
yeah,
really dumb.
It's really dumb. So Catman Woman has been one of those endearing characters that has been both good because she had to be changed by the comic code because you couldn't have women being bad in the 50s. So she became kind of an anti-heroine.
Yeah, like she wasn't a full villain. Yeah. But that's a choice that they kind of keep. And I like that, actually. I think that makes it more... It's more intriguing. Like it's more like an actual person, where normal people, they might tend to be more good, they might tend to be bad. Sometimes there's plenty of people that are just kind of in the middle and just dicks 90% of the time.
It does actually leave this story with an interesting ending. I think that's part of the you make him sound stupid thing that you were bringing up, is what happens at the end of this issue.
A little bit.
But I kind of like it because it's something different.
That being said, as much as I've trashed this particular story in Batman 1, I love it. It's one of my more favorite ones. I love this so much more than the Strange story we just finished up.
So without further ado, smash cut to a fancy yacht party.
It's a yacht. I know.
Where a young drinks boy, Dick Grayson, is serving drinks as a boy. How can this be? Well, let's take a look a few days back to a poorly kerned society newspaper article.
Is this one of the first flash forwards I really see in anything?
It's hard to say because they all kind of begin with like a splash page that has nothing to do with like that shows up in the end of the comic.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the first time that it's like, oh, how's Robin doing this stuff? Let's find out. It's like you didn't really need to set up that panel. Did you run out of space or something?
They didn't, but I really do like how that's drawn, like the water and the yacht, like with the boat coming towards it and everything. It's actually a really nice kind of a landscape and everything. It's nice.
So Bruce is reading a society newspaper, but why he is, it's never known, because Robin's just like, hey, buddy, are you reading about that yacht party that everybody wants to go to? So he already knows about
it. Right. I like how you don't know how he got that news or why he's reading that section of the newspaper. It's what he just stole out of Dick's bag because he's still trying to work that newspaper job.
And then he has his pipe in his mouth too. Because while they're training, nothing goes like the sweet, sweet feel of pipe.
Hey, I'm just gonna take a. I don't know why that got me. I think I just thought of some phallic stuff right there.
So it seems there's going to be some high society jewels at this high society yacht party. And Bruce decides that there's definitely going to be some people that want some high society jewels from these high society types at this high society yacht party for high society people. So he sends a high society Robin in after him.
Yeah, he's like, hey, do you want to just go off on your own? He's so excited. And the thing is, like, when Bruce tells him and he's reading this newspaper, they're training. And Bruce is just smoking his pipe. Like, hey, I'm going to go for a yog. It's a soft J. I'm going to go for a yog while I'm smoking like 15 cigarettes or the equivalent of. Don't mind me. I don't know why I have all this hard time breathing.
You got to love the kid's confidence, though. He is so into it.
He's like super in.
So he gets the job. We found out that the old biddy running the show has a lot of people who want her money, including her nephew Denny, who has another old biddy with a diddy leg.
Yeah, he's like, hey, have you met my friend? She's older than you, and we just happen to fuck around all the time. Like, it implies that he's just like her boy toy for some weird reason. And he also has like a weird baby arm hanging over the old lady. Like, it doesn't make sense, like the length of his arm touching her shoulder. It's like he has little dinosaur arms.
It really doesn't.
So he explains, you know, I'm helping her around and everything, and she's great. And this is Miss Peggs. Her nephew's name is Denny.
We're going to call him Job from now on.
Job it is.
So there's also a doctor who has some gambling debts and her fat brother who shit at the stocks.
Like everyone, like Dick's like, hey, is anyone going to be after these jewels? We kind of suspect some stuff. And everyone else is like, hey, boy, guess what? Everybody.
Well, Dick is just told all this by a young man who is a very well-informed Jimmy Olsen, like 5 years too young.
He also has some weird aging disease on his forehead.
He has a weird aging disease, and between the two of them, they must have used so much Brill Cream.
Everyone's got like a little bouffant kind of a thing going on.
But this kid is so well-informed, it's like, is he a slave?
Well, you see him, like, he tells a little bit about like the one guy, or two guys, actually. But you see Dick at least hanging out some windows and everything, hoping nobody notices him, at least eavesdropping and getting information firsthand. Like, if you think about it, we've seen him do more work for this case, an actual detective work, than Bruce Wayne's ever done.
That's very true. So he detects Job trying to throw a piece of paper into the ocean in anger, and it just flies back at him.
Yeah, like, it flies back at him, probably instantly, and he's like, well, fuck it, I was trying to get rid of evidence, but I guess it doesn't matter now.
That's why I called him Job, because he threw it into the ocean. So he reads it, and it says, keep that old bitch away from the egg, I'm gonna crack it soon, the cat.
Ba-na-na.
No, he doesn't really, but that's more fun than it actually says. It just says, keep your aunt away, I'm gonna get it, the cat.
And Dick says, the cat, and he says it like he knows exactly who that is for just a second.
Although later on, Bruce does imply that he's heard of her. She has a bit of a relationship.
So it's like you...
Sorry, a reputation.
Do you think they know each other already?
Yes, I... You know what? That kind of makes more sense.
But... I kind of like that.
So sure enough, the old bitch runs out and says that her guard was knocked out or dead. We never really find out which.
And her necklace is stolen.
And the jewels are gone.
But... I noticed this right away. She mentions, no, my jewels have been stolen. And then somebody else is like, the guard's been killed. She doesn't start out with someone died. It's my stuff's been stolen. She is heartless. That is so dumb. Wouldn't you notice the murder first and say the murder first? I'm not going to run over for some stolen crap that you probably lost in your couch cushions.
So the Coast Guard shows up and psych, it's pirates.
They're like, oh man, we're super super excited. These Coast Guards can solve the jewelry robbery.
That just happened.
Don't mind the dead body. They still don't care about the dead body. One page and this loss of life does not matter to anyone.
So they come aboard and declare a few times that I'm the captain now. I'm the captain. Look at me. Look at me, John. I'm the captain.
But it's kind of racist because it's all a bunch of white mobster guys. And they're like, want them jewels.
And they find out too late that they're gone, so they decide to just rob everybody.
Well, they try to do a little bit of investigation, like, well, the Coast Guard's not here, we'll do the investigation, then we'll steal the jewel ourselves. Like, they actually do a little bit of work. Why would the mobsters come for that in the middle of the ocean? Why not just wait for it to leave?
There's no laws in the ocean, John.
Is that why they don't care about that dead body?
No.
On board?
That's from the song Mermaider from Death Clock. So, they just start robbing people. And then when one doesn't like the fact that his wife is getting robbed and says, take your dirty hands off her, they just decide to shoot him. And Robin springs into action.
He just like headbutts him in the back of the in his back, really.
He beats the shit out of a couple of them, and then he just jumps off into the water.
And they assume he's dead, and then in mid-water, like under the sea, he's not trying to get air or anything. I assume Batman's trained him for that as well. But he changes to his Robin outfit that he's worn underneath his clothes. I don't know how the cape fit under there without looking like a diaper behind him, but they made it work.
So their job of sweet, sweet murder and jewel thief done, they decide to leave. Only for Batman to go, nope, and get onto him with a boat and just start punching the dicks off.
Yeah, when they're on their own boat, Batman comes to him before, like after they've left the yacht and everything. So this is just on their own individual boat. And while Batman kind of beats him up a little bit, Robin is already on board and he ties like four of them up together in one big silken rope.
Oh, is that what he does? Because I thought that he just started I thought he just started choking one of them.
The regard for human life in any Batman issue is relatively low, so I could have believed anything.
So at this point, we get a very odd point of the story where Batman decides to give the children readers at home a life lesson. Why this is odd is because last story, like 5 pages ago, we had monster men ripping each other apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is some pretty dark shit. Now it's like, hey, kids, listen to this. So why don't you explain what Batman's doing here?
Batman's pretty like, hey, mobsters, you think you're so tough. And this after they're tied up. You think you're so tough. Robin, I want to make them an example. I want you to fight these mobsters, and they're not going to use their guns. And Robin proceeds to go, oh, boy, this is going to be a great opportunity. Ganged up by 5 men while Bruce is watching. This is going to be great.
And then Bruce just sits in a chair.
And just stares.
With a thing of brandy in the dark, swishing it slowly as he watches his young boy go to town.
Slowly pulling from that pipe a little bit. Just like Robin.
So he beats the shit out of him.
He knocks out like 6 different guys. And then at the end, they're like, hey, do you want another go? And they go after him again. And Robin again flips him over and knocks him out and everything. And eventually ties him up. And then Batman just looks straight at the person reading and does a weird PSA. Like they're just breaking the fourth wall. And he's like, guns are bad. Crooks are cowards. You should prove them wrong.
But it's one of those things right. Kind of like The Purge, where it sets up an issue. And then it's like, guys, isn't The Purge bad? And it's like, yeah, it is. It's not real, though. You've set up that this boy is able to beat up 4 men.
Yeah, it's not.
Kids aren't going to be able to beat up a bunch of crooks.
The proper thing to do is, hey, you see gun or violence, get away from there and let somebody responsible know, like a police officer. But they don't do that. They do the da-da-da-da, stop a gun.
So they go back to the yacht, and these fucking people are made of stone. They were just robbed.
And as far as they know, 2 people died. Her guard and technically a steward went overboard and they never found him again. 2 people are dead and they're like, oh, I guess we could have a party. That will cheer us up. I'm assuming that dead body's either still in a room or they just tossed it overboard.
Well, there's a lot of blood around, but we still got our costume rentals. So, so they have a costume party and the winner gets a sweet, sweet cup. But always bet on black because Batman wins just by showing up. And he wants to fill the cup with drink, one young lady asks. He says, no, with plunder, baby.
He just drops a bunch of money. Everybody's stolen goods are right there. And that's another thing. All this stuff was stolen. 2 dead bodies. Why they didn't go back to shore is astounding to me. But Batman returns everything. And while the party's kind of, you know, focusing on Batman and everything, a fire alarm starts going off throughout the ship.
What a doomed cruise. But it was all just a hilarious April trick of Robin so that Batman could observe his prey. It seems that old Biddy number 2 has gams that just won't quit and is running like George Costanza towards the door. It's really the cat who is decostumed right in front of our eyes.
They do like a Scooby-Doo kind of a thing where they're like, Old Man Withers!
It was Old Man Wickers the entire time. Quite a famous panel is actually right here where he's rubbing the makeup off of the cat and she says, let go of me, and he just says, quiet or Papa Spank.
It was so kinky. Like, that implies that maybe they do know each other, like we were talking about. Like, he's just like, oh, I let that slip. Sorry, I didn't realize we were in public. Sorry. Don't pay no mind. That makeup that she has on to make herself look like an old lady, that's just that makeup that you wipe away. There's probably, like, prosthetics glued to her face and everything. Yeah. But just wipes it away like it's magic. And then she turns into a smoking hot lady.
And then, like, he says, let me look at that bandage. And she says, what's the use? I know when I'm licked. A lot of subtext here.
There's a lot of kinky stuff.
And she like, kind of like shows him up as her skirt
like
a little bit.
It's almost like the
she?
Girdle thing at a wedding and everything where they try to be just a little dirty but not too much. He pulls that wrapping off of her leg when she lifts it up. that's around her ankle, and he finds the jewel has just been wrapped around there. That's how she was going to get away with it and everything.
So Job comes in with a gun, but we just punch him because he's an idiot.
He doesn't just punch him. He punched him not with his hand. It looks like he just like hits him with the diamond really fucking hard.
Really hard.
So Catwoman tries to charm Batman into letting her go, and he's like, no, I can't do that. I have to respond. There's only one lady for me, and it's Sweet Lady Justice. And they take her on their boat. We assume they're going to take her over to Gordon, drop her off with a love letter to him and everything, and be done with it. But they leave our Job behind, and he can answer to the Coast Guard, or, you know, these rich people didn't care about the dead bodies or anything. They're probably just going to let him go.
Yeah, probably.
Most likely.
And so they drive, and Batman says that he has his reasons for personally taking her in. And she's just like, well, fuck that, and jumps off the boat, and Batman stops Robin from jumping after
her. Yeah, they didn't have her tied at all. Like, she could just...
But they're very obvious that Batman's letting her go.
Yeah, like, Robin tries to get up, he's like, hey, and Batman's like, whoops, oh, sorry, I didn't realize I was getting in your way. And he lets her go, and Robin's kind of like, hey, did you do that on purpose? And he's like, no, I didn't do that. I mean, she's smoking hot, but I got a fiancé, right? Yeah.
Lovely eyes, though.
Lovely. Julie's great. I mean, that cat's got a fine ass, but Julie, her eyes are, they're okay. It's just the weirdest. He's letting her go. He's obviously got a thing for her. But he doesn't give two shits about his fiance.
Well, the story really hasn't given us two shits about her either. When's the last time we saw her? The monk?
The monk's stupid, too, because he just lets her room with somebody that ends up letting her be abducted more and turns her into a vampire, but they're werewolves.
All right.
I'm just... Oh, okay.
So what do we think about this one? You said you really liked it.
I like it because it's Robin's first time really doing work on his own. And we see Batman jump in, but I could see it being where he didn't have to at all. I mean, the only reason he's in there is because it's a Batman comic. They could have easily made this a Robin comic, and it would have flowed the same. It just would have been Robin stopping the mobsters on their boat, and then he would have proceeded with everything else.
Apparently, the Detective Comics that were published around this time, one of the Batman stories was actually just a solo Robin story.
Oh, cool.
They just decided to cut him out entirely. So he's popular enough that they're giving him his own stuff.
And it's so early on that the noise for how popular he is had to be really loud. Because it's not like you could have seen this on social and everything like that. There's no social media at the time. It's just
really, John?
People talking. What?
Never, nothing. Living through your screen.
A little bit.
So that was the cat. When we come back, somebody returns. I wonder who.
That's strange.
I wonder who.
Next up, we have another prose story called Two Aces by George Strout. I didn't read that either. But the picture at the end seems to imply that it featured a plane crash in Cowboys, so maybe I should have. And then another two-panel wonder, Ginger snaps. Ginger has killed another whore, and the major is hot on her trail. Oh, wait. Ginger just wants a soda, and her fat uncle buys her one, and then buys 10 for himself. Then his fat ass flows into the air for some reason. But now, fantastic facts! In Egypt, they ask how you are sweating instead of how's your health. A tribe of Mexican Indians, just reading what was printed, blowing each other's ears is greetings. In Morocco, firing pistols is a form of greeting. Kangaroos are an inch tall at birth. And boxer Jack Dempsey's left hook is clocked in at 135 miles per hour.
It seems like every fact in there was completely made up. Nothing in that statement could have ever factually been a thing.
Well, humans start out as smaller than like an inch.
Don't get all technical on me.
So now for our last story, The Return of the Joker for the Nintendo Entertainment System. God, I wish I didn't sell that game 20 years ago.
Was it worth something?
Yeah, but also I'd like to play it. It was too hard when I was a kid.
I really like the image, the first partial full page image in The Joker Returns. The Joker ready to chop down a pole that Robin's hanging off of. And Robin on a pole, I don't want to make those jokes. Those jokes seem like the easy out, the Robin sexual jokes and everything like that, but it's right there.
Robin on the pole, saved for later. Apparently they liked it too, because they used it for the cover of Detective Comics number 40. You know who also appears in that issue?
Joker?
No, Clayface.
Oh.
Yeah. But he's not like a monster, he's just a guy that has clay on his face and can look like different people.
Oh. I kind of like that better.
Yeah, in the 80s, they'd bring back that version of the character. But mix him up with the other clay faces to be a transforming clay face. So the Joker's seen in prison, pissed that he's in prison, so he uses his tools, Apparently, the TSA has not started looking for teeth explosions yet to escape.
Yeah, he mixes the two chemicals in each individual false tooth, and he escapes. And he says, "Freedom, au revoir, gentlemen." Is this Bruce? Like, does he have a split personality? He's mixing stuff. He's mixing explosive chemicals in two different spots of his body. And then he speaks French and then pieces out.
I think Bill Finger just really likes explosions and speaking French phrases.
All right. So the Joker escapes, and Bruce and Dick hear about this over the radio. And while they're wondering what's going on and what might happen and all this other stuff, the Joker escapes over to his weird secret hideout underneath a cemetery.
He also gives us an example of what will be his gimmick for the next 30 years or so, which is playing guard puns. The Joker's still in this game and is still high card.
Was that ever an actual expression? Or are they like writing this terms that only the Joker really knows and understands? They're trying
to build
this.
The Batman says at the end that is very similar.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Because, like, do people talk like this? So, Joker decides, you know what worked really well last time?
2 days ago.
Ripping off Lupin the Third and announcing all my crimes. So he just does that again. And he says that he's going to kill the chief of police. Not the commissioner, but just the chief of police.
Where is he? Does Gordon not matter anymore?
Well, he shows up in this issue. Did you even forget?
He looks like a completely different person.
He does. So apparently the time goes by and the chief is like, oh, he's all nervous. But it's okay because he gets a phone call. And the phone call just screams Joker in his ear, causing a dart that was inserted into the phone to fly into his ear.
Like, it vibrates at a weird frequency just enough. That's not how things work. It was too heavy. It would have just stayed in the phone, and someone would have, like, tipped it over, and eventually something would happen. Maybe.
Look, frequencies is the Flash's bit. Don't steal that.
So Joker starts going around doing his
just
last
killing
bit. Killing people, announcing it beforehand, stealing whatever jewels. There's just some guy dead in a lounge chair. They don't even talk about him. He doesn't even get a name.
He just has a vase opened.
Yeah, that's it. And then eventually the Joker says that he's going to do something a little different, and he's going to steal from a museum instead. Theoretically, no murder.
But there's still a ton of murder, because he pops out and gasses all the cops that have shown up.
Yeah, he comes out of a sarcophagus, pretty reminiscent of pretending that he's in knight's armor and then gassing people. So
it is.
He's just ripping off himself. Apparently, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, and he really likes himself.
So Batman jumps at him because he's waited until all the guards were dead before he did anything. And then Joker gets the better of him again.
Were they dead? Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, they're dead.
It's his venom. It's not like a paralyzing agent. Like, last issue had a paralyzing agent, or last story with Joker had a paralyzing agent, and they specifically say not dead. He just murdered, like, what, eight guys? Like, eight different guys.
Eight different guys. And then he decides that since Batman's dead, he's just going to chop his head off, but Batman's able to quick roll out of the way.
And then, like, he grazes his head and gets knocked out. Bruce is supposed to be a master detective, a master scientist, prime physical condition, all that. Joker seems like he is always able to at least go toe-to-toe with him.
Well, he always
gets
the better of him.
Yeah.
Whenever he's alone, he gets the better of him. It takes Robin, which, as we've kind of mentioned a couple times, Robin is like the big shit on this comic now.
He's kind of outperforming him, like,
oh, yeah,
a lot.
So, despite the fact that, like, Joker is taking care of everybody, easily, even Batman, when the guards from upstairs come down, he gets spooked and runs away.
He's like, shit, I didn't bring enough venom for everybody.
It's the
cops. I better go.
And he leaves, the dead and the wounded. So one cop decides this is a perfect opportunity to find out who Batman really is and reaches for the mask. And the comic says, will this cowl be taken off? If the Batman is revealed as Bruce Wayne, his career as a nemesis of crime is finished. Is this the end of the mighty Batman? So that was a short issue. What do you think of it, John?
It was very abrupt.
It had a very interesting ending.
I couldn't form an opinion.
Oh, wait, there's more. So Batman does some sexy capoeira dancing and fights his way off.
He just, like, springs into action like a cat. But when he does it, his torso is, it's so weird. It's like his spine is facing one direction while his lower body is facing a completely different direction. And his torso is also elongated. It's like if Plastic Man was pretending to be Batman. It's just the physical form does not match what a person should be able to do.
Speaking of another impossible thing, he jumps towards the window, is able to grab onto the roof and flip himself up onto the roof before anybody notices.
He doesn't get cut to shreds or anything. Oh, the police notice. They're just awed by him again. It's like the same two cops from, like, way, way back. We're talking like Detective Comics, like 29 or whatever, where they're like, man, he jumped away. That was really cool. You think I can get his autograph? He's such a dreamboat. And they just
What a man.
They kind of fawn over him a little bit.
They do
really.
Say, what a man.
Yeah, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty fond man. Say it again now.
But it seems there's a gentleman named Edgar Martin who wants to do street justice.
Hey, you know that guy that's been going on a rampage throughout the city, just killing anybody, even when they don't piss him off at all? Guess what? Don't actively try to draw his attention, you dumb piece of shit.
Well, this brings up something that I've always kind of been interested in. It's like, whenever you go onto a forum or something, there's always somebody that says, why doesn't Batman just kill the Joker?
I think he tries.
Well, he doesn't really try. I can understand why he doesn't do that, because the second he does that, then he's just going to start justifying everybody. Eh, Two-Face is a bit of a shit. We can kill him.
He kills everybody else. He went after people downtown with a machine gun.
Like, no killing Batman, not 40s Batman.
All right.
So my question to you is, not why doesn't Batman kill Joker? I can understand that. Why doesn't the rest of Gotham kill Joker?
They don't stop Batman either. It's like they see it beyond themselves. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe
it is. It's this outside force, and even though it directly impacts
Because he's killed, like, a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
He's killed, like,
millions. And sometimes they talk about, like, police trying to go after Joker, Riddler, whoever, and then just ending up very poorly for everybody. And maybe they just kind of withhold, but maybe if they stay out of the way, there might not be such a as huge of a loss of life and everything. As poor of an excuse that is, I think that's the best thing you got, really.
The whole, Infinite Crisis thing where Joker's the only supervillain that's not invited because he's too wild. And so at the end, he kills the bad guy just out of spite because he didn't get to play.
Exactly. It's
okay.
It's such a wild card. You don't tick him off. You don't draw his attention.
A wild card?
Didn't do that on purpose. But you don't draw his attention.
John, you're just ace.
Boo. Boo.
Well, let's shuffle through these papers and go on.
So we have, what is his name again? I don't even like the guy. It's Harvey. But either way, Edgar Martin is basically drawing the attention of the Joker because he's an idiot. He's in public pretty much saying the cops are useless and we should do something about the Joker.
So the Joker does something about him, but it is the luckiest thing ever. He leaves a pack of playing cards with razor edges on it, and then the idiot, while playing solitaire, cuts his fingers and dies.
And that's the thing, though. When he does that, the police are present. He's like, oh no, the Joker issued a threat over the radio like he's done with everybody else. I'll need the cops. And the cops are like, are you fucking serious? You told us we were useless. Why would we help you? And he cuts himself with the poison cards when he's shuffling the deck. And when he's dead and he falls over and everything, and he has this hilarious look on his eyes, like they're just drawn way bigger than the rest of his head.
Got a bit of an old face going.
Yeah, that got him aroused. When he does that, the cops are like, oh man, what killed him? And one of the police officers holds a deck of cards that he cut himself on that has the poison laced on it, and he just shuffles through them with his bare hands. You know what happened. Why are you doing that? It's like looking down a barrel of a loaded gun and knowing it's loaded.
So we get Commissioner Gordon, which is back for five issues?
He dyed his hair.
He did dye his hair. He's looking youthful.
Very dapper.
Very dapper. So instead of doing anything useful, Bruce is the one that suggests they have a trap, smoking a pipe while he does so.
It's like he's a newspaper person and he just has these connections. They keep trying to almost draw those lines where he's a reporter.
His whole idea is that they big up a gem because apparently the Joker also really likes gems, which won't go forward, I don't think. And then when the Joker's like, ooh, that's a pretty good one, then he'll go for it and they'll have a trap. So they do that. And it seems like a pretty lame trap. They just have gas masks and guns, and then the Joker just shoots them all with bullets, which was their one weakness.
No, here's the thing that I noticed that was a little odd. They lay this trap for him. The Joker announces that he's gonna grab this jewel and everything, just like he's done before. But he doesn't premeditate anything. He just walks in. Anytime that he's killed a person, he's laid something in advance. Either he's poisoned them ahead of time, or he's laid something down that will poison them when they come across it. It's very timed. Even when he's not necessarily killing somebody, he's at the museum. He's hiding in that sarcophagus. He's done some preparation for it. And this one, he just walks in. Like, he didn't stake out the place the day before or anything.
He just walks in and just shoots all the people that are already pointing guns at him.
Like, he's a quick draw.
And then he runs away onto the roof. But lucky for their widows, a 10-year-old boy will avenge them. They do some sweet parkour shits, and then the Joker just fucks him off the side of a building.
How does a Joker jump like that?
But he pushes him off the side of a building, and it's like, hold on a second, wait. That's Robin's thing.
He just slaps him down. It's like if you were playing basketball with like a 4 year old, and as soon as the 4 year old tried to make a basket, you just slap it down in front of his face. It's just, you're so outmatched in that instance. This is such dirty pool. I mean, he's a villain, so I guess that makes sense, but it's still, it's wrong and it's really comedic at the same time for me.
So Robin jumps up onto a flagpole that's just kind of there.
He just works that pole.
And then Batman, who I guess was getting donuts or something during the stakeout, arrives to be almost shot by the Joker, who has to shuffle into position.
They're on street level right now.
He just decides to shoot him in the face, which he will lose that impulse in later in his life, to just shoot Batman in the face. He'll have many opportunities to do that, and he won't do it.
Yeah, like he wants to start to shoot Robin and Batman jumps in to stop. And when they're fighting, Robin, you know, being the acrobat that he is, and apparently he can fall from buildings no problem, but his parents fall from a tent that's not that high, and they just die. You know,
yeah, he lands on the Joker.
Fuck the Flying Graysons. Idiots. They can't spin around, but this kid endangers his life every week? Come on.
Also, they really should have had a net down.
Oh my god, right?
So anyways, after landing on the Joker, Batman decides to punch his problems away, and he says, Mr. Joker, when I get through with you, you'll look like the deuce. So that's a poop joke.
And a playing card joke. It works on multiple levels.
I think it's just a playing card joke, but this is what I was talking about earlier. What does that mean? You look like a deuce.
In that instance, it's more of a poop joke. It's more of a poop joke.
They didn't have poop jokes in the 40s.
No,
no, that's the horror that Hitler unleashed on the world was pooping.
I thought that was a hippie kind of a thing. They're like, okay, we're going to compost
it. That's what the government wants you to think, John. So anyways, during the fight, the Joker just stabs himself.
I thought it was more of he lost control and he just couldn't stop his hand like in the tussle. How on purpose do you think that kind of was?
Not on purpose, because you usually don't try to stab yourself. Although I do really like that a lot of people say that the Joker is more brooding in his earlier stories, and he is a little bit, but when he gets stabbed, he just looks down and he just starts laughing, and then the last laugh is on the Joker. And then he dies with a smile on his face.
I really like that art when he starts laughing. Like, it's just manic. And I almost didn't realize that he was actually speaking in between all that laughter. But him just, like, holding his hands up, he's just cursing the world, but he's just laughing instead. It's drawn really well. Like, Bob Kane's actually doing a decent job,
yeah,
except for that weird contortionist Batman a few pages back.
And so our heroes cheese it when the cops show up. And while the cops are getting a body bag ready, a doctor announces to his horror that not only is the Joker alive, but he will live on. Bum, bum, bum. And then we end our ad with how you can be a Robin's regulars.
The fuck is that?
It's some
That's
sort
what
of
my
gang.
Notes say. My
All
notes say Robin
join.
Regulars. What the fuck?
Well, it's readiness, obedience, brotherhood, industriousness, and nationalism. I will say that obedience, brotherhood, industrialism, and nationalism
kind of the same thing.
Are all kind of the same thing. What they are leaving out is illegal vigilantism, child endangerment, and casual murder. So, the Joker's dead, and Hugo Strange
sorta.
Is dead.
But not really. And they always
and
tell
technically
you...
Technically, the cat jumped out of a boat in the middle of the ocean, so she might be dead.
I forgot. I was going to say, they don't swing back for her. They could have.
Well, they do say that they're almost home, so it's implied that they're pretty close.
Oh, no, we won't even... We left something at the start. Oh, we'll come back for it later.
So you think any of these people are going to show up again?
Fuck yeah, they're going to show up again.
Well,
no one stays dead in comic books.
Well, it's funny you should say that. It seems that this issue was supposed to end with the Joker stabbing himself and dying. And they were like, we need this guy around for a little
bit. Is that why they drew that last...
That's why they drew those last bits. When do you think the Joker and Catwoman are going to show up next?
Oh, within 12 issues?
Nope, issue 2.
Oh.
The next issue. And guess what? They're going to be together in this issue 2.
Didn't they learn anything from the Monk and Dr. Death where, why don't you draw that suspense out? Just a little bit. Wait an issue, maybe two.
But they're, well, you got to think that Detective Comics is still running. This isn't a monthly periodical. There is a bit of space between them.
What's a publication like on that? Because I never really... The documentation for that kind of thing doesn't really exist.
Well, they have... Like,
they have months
when
on
it, was,
it
yeah,
sort
when
of.
It was
but...
now. I haven't looked into it, so I'm not even going to wager, I guess. I think it's like 4 issues a year, maybe 2 issues a year.
See, that makes more sense. Like, having that little bit of an idea of it's not every month
But still,
or
we're doing it pretty quick. Like, the next full-length Batman one, and they're not even, like, spacing the characters out. They're just putting them together.
Not just in the same issue. They're in the same story.
They're in the same story.
Holy shit.
It's about a crime syndicate that takes Joker's injured body, so there's actually, like, pretty good continuity so far. Huh. That'll stop. And it's just like they blackmail Catwoman into helping them because they want him to get better. And Batman wants to take the Joker and work on his brain to make him not a villain.
Well, if he can do a monster serum in 5 minutes, being a brain surgeon, smart. What is that, rocket science?
So with that, we draw a close to the golden age of Batman for now. We might go back and look at maybe the first appearance of a Two-Face, a Riddler, such like that. But intensively, we're kind of done with the Golden Age. We did the first year. We're going to be moving on to the Silver.
So, John, why don't you
give us a few thoughts on the first year of Batman?
World's Worst Detective. That's
not
the first.
A great detective.
World's Worst Detective. His sidekick, Robin. So it got so much more fun for me when it got to us finally getting to Robin.
Do you think it's odd that the detective in Detective Comics Incorporated's Detective Comics anthology issue is a shitty detective?
Yes.
Yes. There's no focus on that. It's just punching people.
Like I said before, in our, what is he, like the second, third story in Batman 1, Robin's a better detective when he's on his own doing solo work. Like he actually, you know, gathers at least some evidence. I mean, even if it was just him overhearing people talking and stuff, it was...
So what do we think about... We got pretty punny even before Robin showed up.
Batman did get sassy.
Pretty
and
jokey.
When he got sassy, it got a little bit better.
But also, like, we didn't really use guns that much.
They show guns in, like, covers and stuff.
They
but
do,
it,
but
it
they
never
don't
really happens.
Use it other than against monster men. Like, a lot.
And machine guns.
And machine guns. But that was, like, one story where they really used it intensively.
True.
But, like, whenever we talk about Golden Age Batman, it seems like he has a gun in his hand. If you download the, like, anniversary pack in Lego Batman 2, he's got guns on there. You can get, like, a first appearance thing. He's got guns that come with the action figure. We're always talking about Batman guns, and it's just not there.
It's like somebody implanting that, like, in their memory. Like, oh, yeah, that totally happened. And, well, no, someone just said it happened once, and then you grabbed onto the idea. You didn't actually see that.
But there's also, like, the thing that's like, well, why doesn't Batman use guns? I've heard nerds, like, say that before. And I don't really get that argument because it's like, well, you have that. It's called the Punisher. If you want that, it's a guy dressed in black, goes around
it
shooting.
It exists.
People.
You can read that.
You can read that.
You can
and there's
read
nothing
regular
wrong
detective
with that.
Comics.
There's nothing wrong with that. I love the Punisher Max series. It's super dark.
You
but
really
it's great.
Do. I couldn't get into it myself because I like superheroes that don't have guns necessarily.
Yeah, but there's Barracuda in it, and he keeps losing body parts, and he doesn't care.
Well, like I said, Batman just such a terrible detective. He couldn't. He's a master scientist, but he didn't know basic physics that if you tie a batarang to a silken rope, that rope might go a little bit further.
Now, John, you are very. How do I put this? You like to have everything in boxes.
Yes. I like,
how does
I
this
like a
Batman
little
here line up with the Batman that has been published for, let's say, the past, well, 60 years?
You can still poke holes in current Batman stuff or the last 60 years Batman stuff, stuff from 70s, 80s, whatever. You can still poke holes. There's still some weird stuff he does. What was that mechanic that was mute or whatever that he had to work
Harold.
On his cars? And he just knew how to do all this computer stuff that would be attached to the car.
He was
and everything.
A savant.
Yeah, I mean, there's still stuff like that that's weird, but it doesn't happen as often, and they try to make more sense of it, like, at least when they write it, even though it's kind of weird, and even though they kind of know it doesn't make sense and everything, I can get around it because they try to address it a little bit, or they don't play it off as big as they play it off in here. Some of these things, they just draw so much attention to it that's hard not to notice, especially in the issues that we read that are only like 6 pages and everything.
Yeah.
If you got 6 pages and one of your pages mentions this whole terrible idea of detective work, I'm going to focus on it way more than a current comic. So what, 22 pages, I think is average.
It kind of reminds me of, I think I told you this off mic, but I'm a very big Loop on the Third fan. I'm going to try to mention it every issue. So we issued it last one. We'll do it this one.
You already did this one a little bit.
I did, but I've read the original manga from like the 60s, and Lupin is...
I thought Lupin was more 70s.
Yeah, 60s and 70s, kind of that whole movement. Lupin is kind of a rapist.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's very hard to take the character, which is, it has a lot of facets, but it's like kind of a goofier character now, and to see him so serious and so different.
And doing kind of really shitty things.
Kind of doing really shitty things. It's that whole like
it's
James,
kind of like a...
It's the whole James Bond thing of like, well, he can't rape the willing, but he still is very forceful, and it's unfortunate.
Right?
But it's also a sign of the times. It's kind of like how we have so much like casual racism, and that's not going away for a while. I mean, you could say that's not going away until like 5 years from now.
Sorta?
Kinda? It's like I heard somebody say like...
I know. When,
I never realized that there were so many young black men that were being profiled by the police because of what happened like a couple years back. But it's like, that's been happening.
It didn't necessarily go away.
There was a bunch of just kind of there's a spotlight on it, and we're different as society. I kind of made a joke about that in the first episode where I was talking about how he's always called queer, and then I just didn't pick up on it because it wasn't that funny. It was like that was a whole.
Well, that was actually the word meant something different at the time.
Yeah, it meant something different, but it's like society changes like that. Now that's not acceptable to do. Now it's not acceptable to have a bunch of Hindu terrorists that turn into Asians halfway through.
Man, it's really racist. I remember my grandma years ago telling like my family or whatever, like last time she went to the dentist, her new dentist was black. The dentist was perfectly capable. She didn't care, but she felt like she needed to mention it.
So because that's how she grew up.
Yeah, and there was no, there's no necessarily inherent harm in it, but it still wasn't right. So it's almost that weird, adorable kind of a thing. Because there's no malice
in it. Kind of like this, where we are constantly endangering a 10-year-old boy and letting him get away with murder.
That's child abuse.
That's child abuse. But like back then, it was just like, hey, kids, you can do this too. There's a comic in a couple years. It's going to be called All Boy Commando Squadron, which is about a group of young boys fighting in the trenches of World War II. It's just a different time. So what do you think? Yay or nay for first year?
It's a meh. It's a meh.
I have been reading from a Batman archive for this whole year. That's why I chose this, because I had a nice little thing to read from. I'm not probably going to read that often, though. We're just kind of, you know, it's what it is, but I'm happy to look forward to the craziness of the Silver
Age
now.
I appreciate the things that it introduced throughout, you know, we get certain gadgets, we get longstanding characters, we get a lot of characters that have endured.
And actually, like,
but
some of them,
the stories around
unchanged.
It aren't that great. Yeah. But the stories around it, some of them are kind of shitty. The Robin ones, thank God, have been pretty good, at least. I feel like
you told me that you didn't like the Hugo Strange one at all.
I don't like any of the Hugo Strange ones.
I like the Hugo Strange
ones. The
ones
that we
see
later on are fantastic.
But
you said
that you really liked the cat one, which I thought was just kind of meh.
Yeah, but it was Robin on his own, like, being competent, and it was fun. And also, people seeing dead bodies, and they were so rich, they didn't care.
They didn't care at all, because he's just working class. All right, so I think that's it for the first year. So that ends another thrilling issue of Superstitious and Cowardly. Before we get into the creamy nougat of the Silver Age, we want to take a look at what else Detective Comics Incorporated is publishing around this time. We're going to look at the rest of the DC Trinity with Action Comics issue 1 and All-Star Comics number 8 for the first appearance of Superman and Wonder Woman, and maybe a few other notable first appearances while we're at it. If you want to suggest stories we want to look at, or just to chat, we would love to hear from you. John, why don't you tell our Robin's regulars how to get in touch?
I'm not calling them Robin's regulars. It's not happening. Fans of the show can find us on
Robin's
Twitter.
Regulars.
Fans of the show can find us on Twitter. We are at SAC Batpod. You can also talk about us using that same hashtag again, SAC Batpod. Or you can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com.
Hashtag Robin's Regulars. You can use that too.
People can also find episodes on our website. Or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and more. We've worked on having them on a lot more directories. All those ways to subscribe on our site if you go to the episode description below. And that is all the routes that we currently have right now to interact or listen to the show.
Guys, we're going to be looking at some other stuff. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear some suggestions. We'd like to hear from your letters.
I really just want to talk to people that...
Yeah, let's have fun.
I want to have fun with this more than anything. I don't care if I tell you when the episode is. I want you to listen.
Yeah.
But I'd rather talk about the episode coming out less and more about just interacting with
people
in
general. Become a Robin's regular. Give us 5-star reviews.
Yeah. Hashtag Robin's regular. She won me over. And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Winia. We'll see you next bat time. Next bat pod. We don't say that.
Boo.
Good night.
Edit that shit out. Keep going.
I know.